بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبا القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الصادقين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد, respected scholars, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue on our series of examinations of the story of Luqman, and we had left off having examined amongst its characteristics the ability to reconcile the differences between the people, his old age, his servitude, his position in terms of his race, as well as the fact that we had examined the first verse of his discussion with his son and the importance of the relationship between the parents and their children. And indeed, this relationship then turns around from the parents to the children, now to the children to the parents. When you continue reading, those of you who have a Quran in your hand, it will help. When you continue reading, you will find now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Luqman, their words are in tandem with each other. And this is a special gift of Luqman, that it's as if he has reached a level in his life where his words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not seek to differentiate between what his words are and what Luqman's words are. Let's see what he says. Comes forward and says in the Quran, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. Quran says what? He says, and we did enjoin upon man concerning his parents. Straight away it goes to the mother. We did enjoin man upon his parents, straight to the mother. She bore him with weakness upon weakness, and in his weaning taking 2 years, and the words were, be thou grateful towards me and towards your parents, for to me is the ultimate return. In the verse before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about tawheed and shirk, and then moved straight on towards parents. We find that this is not the first time in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts belief in tawheed alongside obedience to the parents, as if tying these important matters together with each other. For example, if a person looks in the Quran, if you look in the Quran at Surah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this again. In Surah 17 of the Quran, verse number 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings together tawheed and obedience to the parents. If you go to Ben Israel, and even interestingly, before this verse in Ben Israel, Surah 17, verse 23, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that your Lord has commanded you that you shall not worship other than Him, and to show goodness towards one's parents. That's why in the hadith, in the dua, we come forward and recite رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْ وَارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا وَالزِّهْمَا بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِالسَّيِّئَاتِ عَفْوًا وَغُفْرَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings together the idea of belief in tawheed as being the fundamental essence of the religion of Islam, and then part of the methods in which this essence is acted out is obedience to one's parents. وقال ربك لا تعبد الا اياه وبالوالدين احسانا. Again in the Quran, in Surah Maryam, Surah 19 of the Quran, when Nabi Isa says his first words, again he connects the belief in Allah with obedience to his mother. If you look in Surah 19 of the Quran, about verse number from 22 onwards, if you go to verse number 30 of Surah 19 of the Quran, قال إني عبد الله. Prophet Jesus says, I am the servant of Allah. آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا. He has given me the book and he has made me a prophet. وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت. He has made me blessed wherever I am. وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا. And he has enjoined upon me salah and zakat. Then he says, وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, and to be duteous to my mother. These were the first words that Nabi Isa spoke from the cradle. إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِي الْكِتَابُ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. Again, he has explained here that I am the servant of Allah, denying any idea that because I am speaking from the cradle, never associate me as being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am the servant of Allah. إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا. And then he continues to say, وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, I have been ordered to be duteous to my mother. Again, the connection is brought together here of the respect to be shown towards the parents. That first he makes tawheed clear, as Luqman did. وَيَسْقَالَ لُقْمَانَ لِإِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيْ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكْ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. You see the connection? Tawheed, first essence in bringing up your son. Then making your son or your daughter aware of the obedience that is needed towards their parents. That's why, again, if you go back to Surah 17, to Bani Israel, to the verse which we just looked at, verse 23. If you go back to that verse, you'll find what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that sometimes the human being neglects his duty towards his parents. Luqman says to his son, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. Here the Quran says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. You see, the Quran is beautiful here. It says that if either of them reach old age with you, okay, sometimes our parents, when they reach old age, they sometimes tend to be a bit more complacent. Or sometimes they tend to be a bit more naggy. Why is the tea got 2 sugar and not 2.5? Why is the shirt folded in the right of the room, not the left? It can happen. With old age, a person becomes more tired in some cases. In some cases, the memories of the years affect them. Does this mean that a person shows disrespect or no? No. Quran says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Uff, if there was something smaller than أُفٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mentioned. Meaning what? Meaning that even sometimes when our parents tell us, go upstairs to bring this for me, or they tell you, please go to the shop and bring this for me, sometimes you find us going, we tut, or even this noise. Again, I have to leave the house. Can't you see how hot it is? Can't you see that I'm fasting? Quran said, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, and do not chide them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, and speak to them with a good word. There was once a person who came to Rasulullah. He said to me, Ya Rasulullah, I have been taking my mother around tawaf all my life. Have I not done enough for her? Rasulullah said, you would never have done enough. He said to him, why? He said, because when she was bringing you up, she was thinking, how long is he going to live? Whereas when you are looking after her, you are thinking, when is she going to die? The difference in mentality. That when Luqman said to his son, he made it clear to him that, my son, do you know how I want you to be obedient to your mother? I want to remind you about those months where you did not thank your mother when she was pregnant with you. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. What does that mean? حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ means all the tiredness and all the hurt and all the pain that comes when a mother is pregnant cannot be described by any male. And that for a person to obey his mother or to show respect to his mother, sometimes a person just has to look at when his mother is pregnant with another of his brothers. When we came to the world, we could not necessarily reflect what she went through. Yet then 6, 7, 8 years later, our mother was pregnant again. We were seeing her cook while she is pregnant and clean while she is pregnant, go up the stairs while she is pregnant, serve our dad's guests, even though he would know she's pregnant, he'd still bring people around. And he'd bring people around in the latest hours without any consideration that she is pregnant. We would see all this. Why? Part of it was the sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remind us that if you ever think of disobeying your mother, then remember those months she went through. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنْ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكِ. Again, when you come towards the position of the mother, there's another interesting story about our Holy Prophet. And the story narrates that one day our Holy Prophet is called by someone who says to him, Ya Rasulullah, there's this young man who is dying. Would you come and allow him to say the Shahada before he dies? It's as if they're saying to him, would you come and bless him before he dies? Rasulullah narrates that he went towards the house of the person. He says there's a mother sitting, there's a lady sitting down there, and the person's on his deathbed. Rasulullah came. He said to him, say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The young man couldn't say anything. Say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the shahada, at least before you die. The young man's trying, but he can't say it. He can't. Rasulullah turns around, sees the lady. One hadith says he asked, of what relation? Another hadith says he asked, are you his mother? She replied, yes. He said to her, for how long have you two not spoken? And the reply was, we have not spoken for 6 years. Rasulullah replied, then it is not surprising that a person cannot say the shahada when they are dying, when they have been disobedient to their mothers. That's when a person has not spoken to his mother for 6 years. Rasulullah said this person will never be able to say shahada when he dies, however much he tries. And that's why Rasulullah turned around to him and said, would you forgive him on my behalf? I am asking. Forgive him on my behalf. And she said, okay, I forgive him. Rasulullah went back to him. At that moment, as soon as he went back to him, he said to him, now say the shahada. All of a sudden he said, shahada la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Rasulullah said, look at the difference. If you had not forgiven him these words, 6, 7, 8 words, only that, for the soul does not allow a human being to utter the shahada when there is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because part of the fitrah of the human being is, number one, recognizing Allah's oneness. Number two, obedience to Al Muhammad and love of them. And number three, obedience to one's parents. That the fitrah of the human being. But even it's narrated in the ahadith that when the child cries in the first year, when a baby cries, in the first year its crying is divided into three stages. 4 months, 4 months, 4 months. So the neutral observer, when it sees the baby cry, the neutral observer thinks, why is this baby crying? Or what's it saying? Ulama say that in the first 4 months, when a baby cries, it says, La ilaha illallah. And in the second 4 months, when a baby cries, it says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And in the third 4 months, when a baby cries, it says, Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Look at the fitrah of the human being. Within our nature is the obedience to Allah, obedience to Al Muhammad, and obedience to our parents.
That's why the hadith states every human being is born on the fitrah of being a Muslim. It's only the parents who make him a Christian or a Jew or of the other religion. Therefore you find here that within the fitrah there is an obedience to the parents. And that's why when you examine this area, when Luqman says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ, in weakness, upon weakness does our mothers go through the period of pregnancy. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ, and the weaning period of giving nutrition to the child takes 2 years. How many? 2 years, 24 months. But in another verse of the Quran it says that the weaning period of a child is 30 months. In this verse it says 24 months. In another verse in the Quran, if you go Surah Al-Ahqaf, Surah 46, verse 15 of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the weaning period is 30 months. Luqman says that the weaning period is 24 months. Is there a contradiction or no? Because in Surah 46, verse 15, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا, we have enjoined mankind to be good to the parents with kindness. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the difference now. Luqman says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ. Whereas this verse in the Quran shows you a different type of effect or a different type of pain on the mother. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا, which means his mother bore him in pain and she delivered him in pain as well. Because sometimes you find that delivery can be so dangerous that sometimes without the barakah of Ahlul Bayt, some mothers may die. Some mothers have died because of the period of delivery. It's a painful period. It's a period of pressure. It's a period that because of it, a person should kiss his mother's feet. That he was lucky and fortunate by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he was able to survive and the mother was able to survive. And you find that it continues to say, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. Luqman said, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ, 2 years. Whereas here it says 30 months. 30 months is what? It's 2 years and 6 months. Why? Because according to Ibn Abbas, he says that if the pregnancy, in one hadith he narrates, and I've got the reference here, if any of you need to come for the reference source, in one hadith he narrates that the minimum period which you have for the childbirth is 6 months. The minimum period which you have for the childbirth, the reference is here, the minimum period you have for the child is 6 months pregnancy, and the maximum is how much? 9 months. If your child is born after 6 months, then there should be 24 months of the breastfeeding. And if it's born after 9 months, then there should be 21 months of breastfeeding. And the idea that 6 plus 24 equals 30, and 9 plus 21 equals 30. Therefore, Quran said that the minimum period is 24 months. And the maximum period is how much? 30. And that's why when you read the hadith of Ahlul Bayt concerning this issue, you find that the hadith tell us about the importance of breastfeeding. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the miracles is how milk is made at the temperature comfortable for you. Imagine milk was too cold for us. Or imagine the milk was too warm for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it at like body temperature, where the human being is ready to take in the milk. And that's why we have a hadith of our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says that you should breastfeed with both breasts. As an advice to the mother, breastfeeding should be done with both breasts. Because he says one of them is a source of food and the other is a source of drink. There is a wisdom for each one. And that's why you find even amongst the other hadith it says that the lady who breastfeeds
her child is acting an act which is greater than jihad, salah, and sawm in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that whenever the child sucks from her nipples, you find that this is like freeing one of the slaves of the generation of Prophet Ismail. And that whenever she stops, an angel taps her on her shoulder and says to her, that continued, O lady, for your sins have all been forgiven. And therefore you find that the milk, of course milk has a physical effect on us, with what we receive from the nutrition of the milk and helping the growth of the bones. But at the same time, milk has a spiritual effect on us. And loving Ahlul Bayt comes from the milk of one's mother. A mother who loves Aunt Muhammad, you'll notice that her milk will bring a son who loves Ahlul Bayt. But what if a mother is of a different type? What if a mother has exposed her child not to her milk, but to other sources? And this is what's narrated about Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Hajjaj killed thousands upon thousands of the followers of Ahlul Bayt, maybe 150,000. He used to say that when you make my bread, put the blood of the Shi'i in the dough so I can taste it when I'm eating. Savage. Sometimes people wonder about people like this in history. Why are we surprised? Who recently fell a few years ago? Wasn't he the same in Iraq? Same thing, even worse. Hajjaj, 150,000. It's not as bad as him. Millions. Because of what the Ba'ath regime were doing towards the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi, his mother was called Fariya. His father was called Yusuf. His mother was originally a divorcee. Her first husband divorced her when he one day saw her trying to pull out her tooth. It's not the most romantic sight when you come home for dinner, you see your wife trying to pull out her tooth. And he noticed that this lady is a bit, and so he left her. She went on to marry Yusuf, his father. Narrated in the ahadith that Hajjaj would not drink his mother's milk. He did not like milk. Normally a baby would want to go towards milk, but he wouldn't like his mother's milk. And they had a problem, because if he's not going to drink any milk, then what's going to happen to him? He's going to die. In the time when Hajjaj was living, they used to resort a lot to the witchcraft and the doctors of witchcraft. And so they took him towards the doctor, who said to the family that what they should do is get the blood of a goat, and that should be the first liquid he's exposed to. You get a little bit of the blood just to put it on his tongue, at least he feels liquid. Do it again. And then the third thing you should expose him to is a bit of the blood of a snake, but not too much. So the first thing Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi in the ahadith, the first thing he tasted was blood. And then he got used to the mother's milk. And that's why when you see the way he behaved with the followers of Ahlul Bayt, you begin to understand that this person, the blood has affected him so much that he took it out on humanity. But the idea is that some people go straight after the period of pregnancy, thinking that that's when you should bring up your child with good nutrients and with good food and drink. No. The period of the upbringing of the child, in my opinion, begins when? Begins even before you have the child. Why? Because if you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us a couple of examples of parents who, before they had their children, had made a niyyah that their children serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we think to ourselves, I'll make my niyyah of what I want my child to be when he's 6. You say, Dad, what do you want to be? At 12, what do you want to be? At 18, what do you want to be? Nabi Ibrahim in the Quran, before Ismail was born, he said, Ya Allah, what did he say? Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Ya Allah, give me a righteous son. He wanted a son who was righteous. Why? Because he wanted a son who would be continuing the message of prophethood. Likewise, Bibi Maryam, her mother, before she gave birth to her, said, Ya Allah, I want a child who will serve you. Today, many of the newlyweds, it's very important that even before they're married, there should be a niyyah what they want their children to become. A niyyah before, rather than during pregnancy, or rather than after. But then the second period where upbringing occurs is in the womb of the mother. That this mother is not just carrying a child, she may actually begin bringing up that child. How? If I am a mother, and in my house the environment is Quran, have you all seen that young man, Taba Tabai? The one who had memorized. They asked his parents, how did he reach such a level? Mother says, because she would recite Quran every day when she was pregnant. So when he left her womb, the words of Quran were so closely associated. Whereas the daughters of Ahl Muhammad, in some cases these days, it's not Quran they listen to when they're pregnant. Some of the things that our daughters listen to these days when they're pregnant, there's more chance of our son coming out a rap star than there is of our son coming out Tabah Tabai. Or there's more chance of our son coming out a film star. That instead of allowing our son or daughter's environment to be an environment where they hear Quran, or they hear hadith, or they hear dua, we find that some daughters today are pregnant with children listening to haram regularly. This haram affects the child. So when the child later on comes out, he is more attracted towards those sounds than towards the sounds which Ahlul Bayt asked us. That's why in psychology, there have been so many of what were known as womb studies. Womb studies wanted to highlight that this child or this baby is learning from the womb of its mother. That's why amongst this womb studies, have you heard of the story, The Cat in the Hat, Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat. Many of us, we read the story to our children. They had done a study in psychology with this story. And the study was what? The study was that there was a mother, she was pregnant with her child. She was told to read The Cat in the Hat of Dr. Seuss to her child while the child is in the womb. Then when she gave birth to the child, they bought a baby bottle. And the baby bottle was connected to a stereo system. And they let the child suck from the baby bottle, which is connected towards the stereo, but the stereo could play one of two stories. Either it plays The Cat in the Hat as soon as the baby sucks, it would press play, The Cat in the Hat, or it plays a neutral story. They wanted to see, would the baby remember the words of The Cat in the Hat? Because if it did, it would continue to suck on the baby bottle, which played The Cat in the Hat. And so the baby would continue to suck on the Cat in the Hat bottle more than the neutral story. Because it was relating and having heard these words before, what did it do? It continued to suck on the baby bottle. That's why I remember the story about the famous Australian soap, Neighbours. Have you heard of Neighbours? Neighbours is a famous Australian soap. There was a lady who came towards her doctor. She said, Doctor, and this is a true psychological story, Doctor, my baby would not stop crying. Doctor said, it happened, it's still a baby. She said, no, my baby doesn't stop. Even in the night, you know, some babies are quiet, others are crying a lot. And so the doctor said, can I ask you a question? When you were pregnant with your baby, what's your favorite television program? So she said, I watch Neighbors. He said, how many times a day? She said, 1 in the afternoon and 5:30 in the afternoon. He said to her, okay, you know the theme tune of Neighbors? She said, yes. He said, whenever the baby starts crying, play the theme tune. That's why we have this whole idea of playing the rhymes for our baby. What do they call it? What's it called? birthday rhyme, there's another name. Another name. Lullaby. The lullaby is an attraction to the baby because the baby remembers from the womb and then when it comes out. Likewise, the mother went home. She thought, this doctor must be crazy, telling me play the tune. As soon as the baby would start crying, she played the tune, baby stops crying. The tune stops, the baby starts crying again. She plays the tune again, baby stops crying. Went back to the doctor. Doctor, how did you know this? He said, because of the upbringing of the child begins from the womb of the mother. That they already are making attractions with the noises they hear. That's why the hadith of our Holy Prophet which says that when a mother recites Surah Yusuf, her baby will come out looking like Yusuf. And I always say my mother must have recited Surah Al-Ankabut. No, may God bless my mother. She must have recited Surah Yusuf actually. So here we find why. We find that there is an effect of the mother in the milk she gives. There is an effect of the mother in the womb and the upbringing. There is an effect of the mother, the dua she has read for you while you are in her womb. That's why no one describes this position better than fourth imam. You want to know about the mother, then no one describes it better. In a way, some narrations say because he lost his mother at such a young age, that he had an affection for his mother which was something unreal. And so when you read his words about the rights of the mother in Islam, in Risalat al-Huquq, it's available in Tabligh, A Divine Perspective on Rights. Listen to his words, listen to what he says. The rights of your mother is that you should know that she carried you where no one carries anyone. And she fed you with the fruit of her heart, that which no one feeds anyone. And she protected you with her hearing and with her sight, and her hands and her legs, and her hair and her skin, and all her other organs. She was highly delighted to do so. She was happy and eager, enduring the harm and the pain and the heaviness and the grief, until the mighty hand, Allahu Akbar, until the mighty hand expelled you out of her and delivered you to the earth. Now listen to these lines and look at your position with your mother. Listen to these lines. She did not care if she went hungry as long as you ate. And if she was naked, as long as you were clothed. And if she was thirsty, as long as you drank. And if she was in the sun, as long as you were in the shade. And if she was miserable, as long as you were happy. And if she was deprived of sleeping, as long as you were resting. And her abdomen was your abode, and her lap was your seat. And her breast was your supply of drink, and her soul was your fortress. She protected you from the heat and the cold of this world. Then you should thank her for all of this. You will not be able to show her gratitude unless through God's help and His granting you success. It's right number 22 in Risalat al-Huquq. He has 50 areas which he examines of rights in the human life. Right number 22, the rights of your mother. And that some of these lines are extraordinary. That the rights of the mother, especially this line here, this line is beautiful. Why? When he says she protected you with her hearing and sight and hands and legs, hair and skin. When he says hair and skin, they've done a study about the rhesus monkey. The monkey. The rhesus monkey, the study they done is, does the monkey look more for physical health or warmth from his mother? Do we look more for our mothers to give us food and drink, or do we want more from them warmth?
So what they did with the rhesus monkey is that when the rhesus monkey was born, they bought two monkeys which were dummies. Dummy monkeys, not real monkeys. But one of these dummy monkeys, they put a bottle of milk. And the other of the monkeys, all they did was cover it with the hair of a monkey. They wanted to see, would the baby be more concerned in going to drink the milk or resting on the hair? Because if it goes towards the milk, it's more concerned with its parent giving it food. If it went towards the hair, that means it was more concerned with the warmth a mother gives. And it showed that the rhesus monkey would go more towards the warmth than it would go towards the milk. Because however much milk or food we are given by our parents, it's not the same as the warmth which they gave us. When you feel ill, you go towards the mother. When you're feeling happy, you go towards the mother. And that's why you find the hadith which states, heaven lies underneath the feet of the mother. That for a person to enter Jannah, heaven lies underneath the feet of his mother. And that's why you find in Karbala, the number of mothers that made the event possible. Layla giving away Ali Akbar. For example, Farwa and Imam Hassan and Qasim. For example, Rabab and Ali Akbar. Mothers who are willing to give away. But one mother in particular stands out. You have, for example, Zainab with Awn and Muhammad. But one mother in particular, the mother of Wahab and Kalbi. Wahab. Because Wahab's mother, originally they were Christians. Imam, when Wahab's mother was pregnant, Imam had helped her. She was feeling very ill, Imam Ali. He had helped her when she was pregnant, when they were Christians. So when she found out that Aba Abdullah was alone, she said to her son that there's no way, and her son had just got married, she said to her son that there's no way I allow you to not serve Imam al-Hussein. Because if it wasn't for his father, then there is no way you would be alive. And so what happened was, when her son fought for Imam al-Hussein, remember, her son, his wife at the beginning would say to him, don't go. But he would go. And again she'd say, don't go, he would go. Third time, don't go, he would go. He'd say to her, I'd have to. Then all of a sudden she said to him, go. He said to her, why the sudden change of mind? She said, the cries from the camp of Hussein are killing me. Even though we are just married, go. He went and he fought. He was on the ground lying. His wife came to try and save him. She was killed. The lady that was killed in Karbala. What Umar bin Sa'ad did was that he took Wahab's head and he threw it towards the mother. And this must be the most devastating thing for a mother, when she sees her son's dead body, or she sees the head. Do you know what she did? She took the head and she said, take it back. I wish I had 20 sons to give towards Imam al-Hussein. I'm not affected at this one son. Take. I wanted more. And that's why when you looked at what happened in Iran in 1979, when the television went to report and to try and bring down the revolution, the American cameras went there and they had access. They came towards the mothers, they saw many mothers crying. They came towards one mother, they said, so we see you crying in pain. And she was crying and crying. They said to her, is that man, the Ayatollah, is he the cause? Is he the man who's brought misery? She said, I'm not crying because of that. She said, so have you lost children? She said, yes, I've lost 4 sons. Another one says, he's lost 5 sons. Is that why you're crying? She said, no. She says, I'm crying because I wish I had a 6th son to give towards Imam al-Hussein. Mothers were what built. That's why Luqman said to his son, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. Straight to the mother. The mother 3, the father 1, as Rasulullah says. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالَ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكِ. Thank Allah, thank your parents, always. Because shukr is a sign of sincerity. thank them that at least they gave you the opportunity to become what you are. There is no blessing in our life if it's not for the dua of our parents. The dua of our parents is not there, forget. But when the dua of the parents is there, then you know the people will be successful. Inshallah, we will continue tomorrow where Luqman twists it around, where he discusses when you can disobey your parents. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا زم البلاء وبيها الصفا وانكشف الغذاء وانقطع الرجاء وزاقت الأرض ومنية السماء وانت المستعان وإليك المشتكى وعليك المؤول في شدة والرخاء. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وللأمر الذين فرضت علينا طاعتهم ورفتنا بذلك منزلتهم ففرج أنا بحقهم فرجا عاجلا قريبا كلمح البصر أو هو أقرب. يا محمد يا علي يا علي يا محمد اكفياني فإنكما كافيان وانصراني فإنكما ناصران. يا مولانا يا صاحب الزمان الغوص 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 أدركني 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 الساعة 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 العجل 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 يا أرحم الراحمين بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين. يوم السبت زيارة رسول الله صلوات الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أنك رسوله وأنك محمد بن عبد الله وأشهد أنك قد بلغت رسالات ربك ونصحت لأمتك وجاهدت في سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وعديت الذي عليك من الحق وأنك قد رؤوفت بالمؤمنين وغلظت على الكافرين وعبدت الله مخلصا حتى أتاك اليقين فبلغ الله بك أشرف محل المكرمين. الحمد لله الذي استنقذنا بك من الشرك والضلال. اللهم صل على محمد وآله واجعل صلواتك وصلوات ملائكتك وأنبيائك والمرسلين وعبادك الصالحين وحل السماوات والأرض ومن سبح لك يا رب العالمين من الأولين والآخرين على محمد عبدك ورسولك ونبيك وأمينك ونجيبك وحبيبك وصفيك وصفتك وخاصتك وخالصتك وخيرتك من خلقك وأعطي الفضل والفصيلة والفزيلة والوسيلة والدرجة الرفيعة وابعث مقاما محمودا يغبطه به من الأولون والآخرون. اللهم إنك كنت ولو أنهم ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوا واستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما. إلهي فقد أتيتك نبيك مستغفرا تائبا من ذنوبي فصل على محمد وآله واغفر حالي. يا سيدنا أتوجه بك وبأهل بيتك إلى الله تعالى ربك وربي ليغفر لي. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أصبنا بك يا حبيب قلوبنا فما أعظم المصيبة بك حيث كتأن الوحي حيث فقدناك فإنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. يا سيدنا يا رسول الله صلوات الله عليك وعلى آل بيتك الطيبين الطاهرين. هذا يوم السبت وهو يومك وأنا فيه زيفك وجارك فعزفني وأجرني فإنك كريم تحب الزيافة ومعمور بالإجارة. فعزفني وأحسن زيافتي وأجرنا وأحسن إجارتنا بمنزلة الله عندك وعند آل بيتك وبمنزلتهم عنده وبما استودعه من علمه فإنه أكرم الأكرمين. السلام عليك يا رسول الله ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا محمد ابن عبد الله. السلام عليك يا خيرة الله. السلام عليك يا حبيب الله. السلام عليك يا صفوة الله. السلام عليك يا أمين الله. أشهد أنك رسول الله وأشهد أنك محمد ابن عبد الله وأشهد أنك قد نصحت لأمتك وجاهدت في سبيل ربك وعبدته حتى أتاك اليقين. فجزاك الله يا رسول الله أفضل ما جرى نبيا عن أمته. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أفضل ما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. السلام عليك يا مولاي أبا عبد الله رسول الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وناخت برحلك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعل الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا غريب الغرباء السلطان أبو الحسن مولانا علي بن موسى الرضا. كن شفيعنا وشفيع والدينا في يوم الجزاء ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا حجة الله يا ابن الحسن يا صاحب الزمان. السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن. السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن. السلام عليك يا كعبة الإيمان. السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان. عجل الله لك ما وعدك من النصر وظهور العمر ورحمة الله وبركاته.